Strange day today, that's all I can tell you. There are many strange days, but this one was definitely strange. And I just want to pray because I'm not positive where we're going. He actually poured in three things today, so I don't know where we're going. That's the honest truth. Huh? Then they're done that. Ashahishahira Sandarakiya. Father, we lift up your whole plan for this night. And we're believing, Father, that you know exactly what needs to be poured out. We trust you, Lord. We trust you to bring forth what you want. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, loud and clear. 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Bind up every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but thought life can really be a problem. Amen? Okay. I'm not trying to pick on you, I'm picking on me, because I have the same problem as everybody else. So, what I've learned is that you can fast a thought. And several weeks back, the Holy Spirit pushed and shoved. You know how he pushes and shoves? Gently, with compassion. But this is not a ritual that I'm asking you to do. It's an understanding of what he expects from each of us. Mindsets. Verse 5 says in the Amplified, in as much as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Now, verse 6 says, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for this disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. Why has it been so long? Because many times we're not secure in what we believe in, and God wants us to be changed, and he's looking for us to change. But don't expect your neighbor to change until you have made the decision to let the Holy Spirit change me, basically. So, like I said, several weeks ago, the Holy Spirit pressed in. You can fast a thought. Well, what do you do when you're fasting? You walk by the refrigerator and you head right towards the outside and go for a walk and maybe a glass of water at the sink. You might, instead of grabbing a half a gallon of ice cream, just decide not to eat it or consume it. And I'm not picking on anybody for anything other than the fact that you are the only one that can ask God for help to change your habits. And that is not all about food. It's not about food. It has nothing to do with food. It has, however, something to do with spiritual thoughts that come in, that we have a habit of responding. And how those things are made up usually begin in our childhood. When that happens, the only one that can really make a decision to fast a thought is you. So when the thought comes, first of all, you have to discern where it's coming from. And if it's a thought to go help and lay hands on the sick person that's in that cot, you don't need to fast that thought. You can say, Lord, confirm it when and how. Or when do I do it, or how do I do it? But if it's a thought that you'd like to kick the person because they were really nasty to you the week before, maybe you ought to fast that thought. And say, okay, I'm not going to take that thought in. I'm going to just put it in the back burner and let it sit there and let the enemy have it for back, because it came from him anyway. Because you know it's not an act of love to go kick the person. He may have been a real nasty SOB, but that doesn't give you an excuse to be an SOB back. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So sometimes we have prepared ourselves for failure. Because we're going by the pattern of the past and extending it to tomorrow. Well, they never said yes before, so why should they say yes now? I don't think I'm going to go over to ask them to go out to lunch. Because after all, they rejected what? Got it? Fast the thought. Submit to the Lord. And say, let's let the Holy Spirit have a chance. If it's you, God, let's coordinate this. Let's see if maybe the door will open and we can get some lunch. Or a happy time for a change. And this kind of relates to your
joyful day.
Your joyful day and your testimony about the awesome time that you had with your little grandbaby. And that's such a gift.
For Judy and myself.
So you laid down your life. And you laid down your thought patterns of the past and you gave them to the Lord. And you submitted them, and you said, okay, God, I'm going to fast what I thought, and I'm going to go with what you want. And I'm going to go with a brand new beginning. Now, I'll be honest with you. I had that experience when Mom broke her hip, and I find out that it's the same specialist, the bone specialist, who did Jimmy's leg. And that we almost were ready to take to court. Because of what he did and how he did it and how nasty he was. And his bedside manner was yuck. With doubles and triple yucks. And every time we went back for checkups, it was yucks and more yucks. And he treated this kid like if he had no brains at all. And we went back and back and back for a one whole year while this kid was constantly on Percocets because the screws were put in at the wrong place. And after a year of going back to this same wonderful doctor, okay, are you ready now? He treated us like a piece of dirt, and when I asked for the records, there was fury in the office. But they finally submitted and gave us the records. So off we went to another bone specialist. He took one look at the x-rays. Within 3 days, he was on the operating table. They pulled out four screws, and the kid stopped having pain, was able to go back to work in a few weeks. I wanted to... with a few adjustments. And God said, Now, my mom breaks her hip, and guess who I hear is called in to repair her hip? The exact same doctor, and I want him crucified. So, I didn't do it. I fasted the thought, and I said, God, we already prayed, Mom, that, you know, the Holy Spirit would be in charge. And you're bringing this same... bad person, bad experience, all in front of me one more time. And I heard, will you trust me? And I wanted to say, God, I don't. But I didn't. I said, okay, God, we're going with this. So Irene and I are stepping out, and we go into the other room, and now it's 11 o'clock, and it's getting closer to 12 o'clock, and the surgery's coming. My emotions are flaring in every direction, and I'm... Anyway, bottom line... Irene and I agreed, God, you chose this doctor, you're going to do a work. Praise God. Obviously, we went back for a checkup several weeks later, got the stitches removed of the staples, and everything was perfect. We went back the next time, and it was even again verified that the work was well done, and the assistant said, this is healing exceptionally well. God has done it, you know. And the doctor's coming in to his office to check on my mom, and he's got a boot, you know, a protective boot over his foot. And the Lord said, ask him if he needs prayer. I had another real wild thought. I really didn't want to ask him if he wanted prayer. I would have liked to adjust his other boot. But anyway, I didn't do it. I really didn't. So I said, okay. I said, we're going to start praying for you again. And he says, yes, and I need it. And he walked out and went into the other room. I said, Lord, that means he's receiving. He is receiving. So when Mom and I were driving back, we prayed for him. I had to fast what I really would have liked to do. Now, anybody relate to this? Are you connected to this, or am I the only one that has these feelings and emotions? Are you related? Thank you. I feel so much better. Do I mean that I enjoy the human part? No. But I'm enjoying the victory of being able to intercede for a vessel that probably, as far as my natural understanding is concerned, doesn't deserve it. But God says, I gave you mercy, and you need to give it out too. I gave you mercy, therefore you need to give it out as well. Now, I was reminded of St. Paul in the book of Acts being dedicated to honor the press from the Holy Spirit. Even after there was a prophecy that says you're going to end up in jail and tied up, he obeys. And he goes to Jerusalem and gets exactly what he's supposed to get in prison. Boy, what a dumb thought that was. Why didn't I listen to the prophet? Why didn't I just take off in the other direction? And it says very clearly a few verses down, I believe it's a couple chapters down, the Lord Jesus appeared to him in the cell and said, you also have to go to Rome for me. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was God, I don't think I'd choose a prison and then a boat that falls apart to send my special apostle to preach to the Romans. I don't know if I'd do that. I really don't know. But you see, the ways of God are so strange that he'll let you put your second member of your family under the same doctor that screwed up the first one, and that is meaning with four screws. But understand where I'm coming from. You need to fast your thoughts and listen to God. And by the way, Mom does not have any pain in her hip and her leg. Very rarely, she says, that's all healed up. And she walks quite well if she had the energy to be able to do it. She doesn't have the energy, but there is. I mean, she can stand perfectly straight. I mean, she rolls over on that side. You'd never know she had surgery 3 months ago. And they told us that she would not have freedom for at least 5 to 6 months. So she's way ahead of schedule. Because God did it. So what am I saying? Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, teach me how to fast bad thoughts.
Teach me how to fast bad thoughts.
Anything that tries to pull me down.
Or make me retaliate.
Give me the courage to fast that thought. Because there's always a space of grace where I can ask you to give me your thought on the subject. In Jesus' name. That's it. So, bless one another. Hug one another. Pray for one another that you may be fasting this week on all those ugly thoughts.